Well, guess it's time for another Bumblecast. Time to boot this sucker up.
That's right, Kyle. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here forever and ever and ever.
Die, monster! You don't belong in this world!
Can it be?
Bumblecast. I'm your host in absentia, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me is the man who keeps this show rolling no matter what, Kyle JCRB Krause.
Hi, Ian. You sound great.
Hi, Kyle. This is the best I've sounded in a month.
I can imagine. I'm very sorry. I'm so glad to hear you again, but I mean, you sound like you've put on about 50 years since we last talked.
It's kind of sad that I've turned into Grandpa Simpson, but at least the impression's dead on now.
Yeah, in a sense, it's rough. It's rough, but I'm glad to hear you again. I'm glad you're here, and I'm sure the folks out there are also glad that you're here again.
Yeah, I wanted to pop in to say thank you to everyone who's continued to support the show, even without me here, showing love to Kyle, showing love to Aaliyah. Your donations and everything, especially in these trying times, are super appreciated. The likes, dislikes, comments, subscriptions, all that to the YouTube to affect the algorithm and get us more attention is appreciated. So it's been a rough start to 2020 for all of us. So the fact that you guys have stuck around with us is really appreciated. And I'm sorry I've been away for so long.
Well,
that being said, very barely and horribly said, I'm going to have to bow out. I'm going to pass the baton back over to Aaliyah Baker for the rest of the show, and I'll see you guys again for the Q&A. Toodles!
Hello, Lee. Welcome back to the Bumblecast.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm here, finally.
We are here to let Ian rest and talk about Animal Crossing, the thing that's sweeping the world, I suppose, in popularity during these interesting times we live in now.
It came out at a very opportune time.
Indeed it did.
Clearly this was engineered by Nintendo.
Makes sense. There we go. To sell video games.
To take advantage of people being locked into their homes.
Yes.
To give them an escape. So they can be locked in another home.
Yes.
On a small deserted island.
With tiny little animal creatures, except they're not very tiny because they're the same size as you. So
Most of them are. Some of them are small.
Okay. I guess
the
that's
squirrels
true.
Squirrels, the frogs.
Okay. So the actual...
The hamsters. The hamsters are...
The actual animals are small, but the humanoid-like animals that live in your town are the same size as you. Something like that.
No. That's what I mean. Some of the villagers are kind of shrimpy.
Oh, okay.
The little hamster people are very short.
Okay.
You know, compared to like the rhino villagers or...
Don't shame them for being small.
I'm not shaming them.
Okay, good.
It's not my fault that, you know, one was standing in a flower patch and I could barely see him.
Maybe it was hiding in there on purpose.
Maybe. He's not my favorite. Ian invited him. I didn't.
How dare he?
I know.
Gross.
Ew. I know. That's the whole thing, too. People are like, You know, this is such a nice and peaceful game. But if you're ugly, get out of my town. You're evicted.
And people are mad because of all these eggs that are going around in New Horizons. People are mad about all these eggs.
Yeah, so when I said at first that, you know, it was kind of an opportune time.
Yeah.
That this game was released about now, that's, you know, both true and untrue, because on the one hand, everyone is trapped in their homes. You need some stress relief. You need something to focus on. You know, you need something to waste hours and hours and hours and hours of your day on. But on the flip side, they introduced this Easter event that started with April. And for people who, you know, didn't get the game immediately at launch and had the audacity to start a few weeks after.
Gross.
I know. Ugh. kind of put a bit of a spanner in the works, because unlike previous games, this one has a bit of a crafting system and focus on material acquisition and resource right. use and so forth. And especially at the start of the game, that can be, you know, a bit hard
mm-hmm.
to do. So it's a bit harder when half your resources are, surprise, Easter eggs. Oh, you thought it was a fish. It's an Easter egg. You thought this tree was made of wood? No, Easter eggs. You thought the ground was solid beneath your feet, but it is, in fact, Easter eggs.
The whole thing is Easter eggs. Everything is Easter eggs.
And on top of that, kind of standby for quite a few, well, almost all, I think, of the games in the series are item balloons, you know, drifting over the town. You can shoot them down with a slingshot and usually find some kind of, you know, goodie inside,
mm-hmm.
you know, be it furniture or clothing or a tool or whatnot. So you had special Easter colored balloons that would also drop eggs. And for whatever reason, the frequency of these things was to such a degree. It just never, and you couldn't focus on anything else.
It was just outrageous.
If you dared to turn your attention to anything else, it just, nope, there's something in the sky. Well, you don't know. It could be a good piece of furniture. It could be something you don't have. It could be 30,000 bells. And I'm not even exaggerating in that regard. So you don't really want to ignore it, but it's probably an Easter egg.
So the spawn rate was out of control then.
It was inane. And I'm not even making this up. Like, you'd kind of have this like Pavlovian response.
Yeah.
To the sound effect, you know, the kind of wind whooshing to yeah, indicate like, that there was a balloon nearby. I was hearing it when the game wasn't on.
You were like, ooh, 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 give me. And then it's like, just another egg.
Yeah, but no, it's just kind of like, oh, I can hear the wind everywhere.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, the response to that was so bad that they had to patch the game.
I think
they legit had to patch this game.
I think that means you've been playing it too much.
For less than a month.
Well, I mean, like,
Because
of the Easter event?
You couldn't play it!
Well, I mean, usually games get patched within like the first few days or the day of release, first few days later, a week later, a couple weeks later after that. I mean, it's constant. But I know Nintendo doesn't usually do that.
Well, I mean, like, you know, in terms of content updates, like Splatoon 2, you would have lots of new stuff.
Right.
That was great. Here's new clothing, new weapons, new stages, new game modes. That was great. That was awesome. This was, oh no, everyone's going insane and new players are completely screwed over.
Yeah.
Because you just want to collect some resources. And you look like you were in some kind of, you know, factory farm hellhole.
Pumping out eggs everywhere.
Everywhere. Pastel colors, even when your eyes are closed, you can't escape them.
They really wanted to make this event special. They made it a little too special.
I can kind of get that they don't want people to maybe miss out on the event or the resources. They want to make sure that you have enough resources to participate in the event.
Right.
But people did the math and you did not need nearly the amount they were giving you.
It's a bit extreme.
It was super extreme. You would have more than you would have needed for the entire event in like a day's worth of gameplay.
Wow.
And this went on for 12 days.
Is this still going on?
It's no, today was the last day. Okay. Everyone is freed.
Free from your egg prisons. Wow.
Yeah. And on top of that, too, another tradition sort of in Animal Crossing, because it's, you know, set in real time, and an effect of that is that it's, you know, seasonal.
Yeah.
And one of the nicer kind of effects is that you have a cherry blossom season. And sometimes it's just been cosmetic, but it's pretty. It's legit pretty. Mm-hmm. You get some pink trees, you get flower petals. It's nice. This one had the flower petals. Sometimes you could actually catch some of them in your bug net. And those would become a crafting resource. And then you could also find recipes to make a bunch of cherry blossom themed items. And some of them are really, really gorgeous. The problem being that while you're trying to collect these very limited time items, everything is Easter eggs.
So they put the seasonal, they put the special event during the same time they have their special seasonal
transition thing going on. It's kind of how it is. They sort of coincide. It's springtime.
Yeah, yeah. It makes some sense, but still.
I mean, here sometimes, you know, the cherry blossoms can be kind of as late as May.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but sometimes. But, you know, typically, yes, it's kind of around Easter. So, unfortunately, that's how it goes. But there were so many people who, you know, much preferred these, I guess you could say, more elegant items compared to the pastel egg themed over the top, very specific to one holiday items.
The color explosion theme.
And yeah, that's, you know, I had people coming over to my town asking, like, do you have extras? Could you spare some, please? Please, please, sir, I want some more that aren't eggs.
Please, no more eggs.
So, it was a bit unbalanced.
Yeah, sounds like
it. To put it delicately, as akin to, say, a cherry blossom or the shell of an Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both over now.
Both of them?
It's done. Aww. Yes. The cherry blossoms ended on the 10th.
Oh, okay.
And Easter has finally unstuck its claws from the world.
Easter. Leave. Leave, I mean, Easter.
Another thing, too, is that the character that's kind of associated with Easter in Animal Crossing is this bunny named Zipper.
Yeah.
And the thing is that Zipper doesn't look like the other in-game rabbit villagers. He looks, you know, kind of off.
So he's out of place?
Yeah. And he's got a giant zipper sticking out of his back. And it's always kind of a running gag that, you know, he looks wrong, but he will always insist, you know, without you saying anything, that this is not a costume. He's not anyone else under there.
Well,
I even had some villagers today saying stuff like, so come up with a new game. It's called Grab the Zipper on His Back.
Uh oh.
They admit it's a lot more fun for them than it is for him, but so, you know, he's already a little off putting to the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's associated with this event that just kind of threw everything off.
This event that annoyed everybody and nobody liked it and everybody wanted it to go away. Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, it is kind of funny because, like, in universe, you know, he'll be over the top. He's jumping around. He speaks in obnoxious rhymes. But it's kind of funny because when you walk away from him, if you get far enough away, he just drops the act completely and just stands there and looks like he is just wrapped up in self-hatred and misery.
So what makes this game so great then? I mean, I've never played Animal Crossing in my life. So, the thing is, it looks fine. It looks fun, but it's not really a game that I'd normally get into. Not really a game I'd normally get into so much. So.
And yeah, it's funny because
I appreciate it regardless. I mean,
I wouldn't say it's my kind of thing necessarily, but when I can't play more intense games, it's kind of nice to have something a little more slower paced.
But you've been playing these games for a long time, though. You say they're not your thing, but you've played a lot of them.
No, I didn't say, I'm just saying, like, at a glance, I wouldn't have said it was necessarily my thing.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of funny because you could look at it in a lot of ways. You could look at it as kind of like a life sim kind of thing, but there's also a lot of, I guess, creative potential to it.
Right.
So if you want to be the type of person who just plays it as you hang around in your little village, you interact with the people there, you go fishing, you catch bugs, you contribute to your little town, you build it up, that's perfectly fine.
Kind of makes me think of things like Harvest Moon or like Stardew Valley is kind of,
yeah,
has some of that. With a little bit of some Minecraft elements, especially in the new one. Because
especially
of the
with
crafting,
the newer one.
Yeah.
Especially now that you have the ability to essentially terraform.
Right.
Which is kind of huge for the series.
Yeah, that is a pretty big deal.
But, like I said, you can get into the more creative aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is basically working with what you have and how you want to use it and apply it. And then, especially as time has gone on, some of it is just, you know, you can design your own clothing, you can make your own patterns and visuals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've seen a lot of people sharing their designs online.
Mm-hmm. And some of that is just like, you know, it's just legit. It's like, here's something I came up with, you know, out of my own head, and this is what I like, and I want to share it with people. And then other people like to recreate things.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, done some recreations of existing material. I've also done, like, I've done this in the past too, like some Sonic characters. Actually, it was kind of funny because I made a design based on Clove, the pronghorn's kind of coat.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the villagers was actually wearing it. And he's like, so were you thinking of a mouse like me when you designed this? And it's like, no, absolutely not, you little shrimp. This thing barely fits on you. Ugh. He's gone. He's gone now. He moved out.
You evicted him.
I didn't actually. He chose to move out, but I didn't stop him.
You said goodbye. Good day, sir.
I did not hesitate. But, you know, like, okay, this is going back to the original Animal Crossing. You know, I kind of played legit. I found furniture I liked. I arranged it in ways that just, you know, appealed to me. It's kind of good to go.
Sure.
And then my brother, on the other hand, he made a design that looked like Sigma from Mega Man X.
Uh-huh.
And had it arranged so it looked like he was kind of leering through the front door of the house. He had a room that had certain words that I probably cannot use on this stream.
Maybe. Just probably not.
No. just plastered all over the walls and floor, repeated everywhere. So you just step in and there was nothing else in this room. And it would just kind of hit you. And then he had a basement where he had a bunch of... in the first game, you would have these kind of raffle tickets you could collect. And then you would use them at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And he had them scattered all over the floor to kind of represent like bedding slips. And in this fenced in area had lawn flamingos. And he said this was like the underground cockfighting ring. And there was the whole thing was just made to look as like shady and gross as possible.
Of course.
And there, what really cracked me up was that I was kind of wondering why there was this like grody metal garbage can on one side and then this nice, you know, kind of kitchen garbage can on the other side. And he said, you know, the grody garbage can, well, that's where the loser goes. Oh. And then he pointed to the nice garbage can and said, that's where the winner goes.
Oh.
So, you know, it can be kind of what you make of it.
Now I'm just imagining rooster fighting in Animal Crossing for real.
And the thing is, there are rooster villagers.
Yeah, exactly.
They could get in an argument with each other. You could potentially fence them in together.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible. I love it. It's great.
Well, and I mean, a more, I guess, popular example was in New Leaf, uh-huh. The one on 3DS. So in that game, they introduced the idea of the Dream Town, which basically you could make kind of like a save state copy of your town,
mm-hmm.
so that people could experience it as it was instead of visiting it online. And right. That way, you know, they couldn't mess with anything, which has kind of been a thing.
They couldn't grief your town.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised, you know, you want to have an online. It actually became a bit of a thing in New Leaf, was that there was an online island that you could kind of play with other people. You could do some mini games, you could get certain items from.
Right.
And it started to become a bit of a thing that people would essentially hold other players hostage there, mm-hmm. and extort them for in-game money.
Really?
So, yeah.
That is mean.
Yeah. So, you know.
Of course.
But anyway, so there was someone who had made a dream town, and it kind of became a bit famous, infamous, I guess, if you want to say. And they had, at least as I heard it, had purposely left this up to interpretation. You know, a lot of people's were just, here's my village, or some of them were just, here's what I've done to my village. I remember going to one, and it was just these horrible green faces all over the floor. I didn't know what to make of that. But this one was like, it was horror themed.
Oh, I think you told me about this.
I probably did, because it was a bit of an experience. It basically had like four houses, and you would be kind of led through the town. The layout was such that you could only experience it. You had to travel, you know, through a certain path, more or less.
Yeah, it's linear.
Yeah. Mm. And you would start in one area where I think it was like there were, you know, all these beautiful flowers. Everything was nicely manicured. All the trees had like, I think, perfect peaches on them. And there was a house where I think it was like a birthday party set up. And everything inside was kind of represented with these mannequins. Like a birthday party. There's a mannequin basically representing the little girl character, like representative of the player character who would be standing outside the house in most cases. So they were dressed the same. And upstairs there would be these like childish drawings of, I think, the kid's family and the dog and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, here's the kid's house and the kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
You talk to the kid outside and she would say something along the lines of like, I love my mommy. Okay, fine.
Sure.
And you travel through the town and it would just kind of get weirder and weirder as you went.
Uh-huh.
There was a part where you would pass what was set up as essentially like a graveyard.
Of course.
And you could find a shovel and dig up like bones and I think a doghouse.
Uh-oh.
Out of one of the graves.
Not KK Slider, no! He's my favorite.
I think in any of the houses you could go into that were just like average houses, they would just have like this single doll wearing red in there that was like, that looked very similar to the little girl's outfit.
Uh-oh.
And then you would come to like the second house. I can't remember the order, but I know one of the houses had some, it was like all dark and just had this really trippy maze that you kind of had to figure your way through because, you know, there were no lights. Mm-hmm. And it was a little weird and creepy. And there was, in one of the houses, there was like a big party set up with a bunch of the dolls all around the table. And they were all dressed differently. And the one doll in red, if you moved the camera around, you would see had an axe behind it.
Yeah.
And then in another house, the upstairs room was set up to like represent the Garden of Eden. Like, it would have statues that were, like, you know, which represent Adam and Eve. Like, one was, like, you know, Michelangelo's David statue. And there was, like, a little snake. There was an apple and all this kind of thing. There was one room in a house that had all these stuffed animals. You'd go in into this dark room and all these stuffed animals would be turned away and facing the corner. Mm-hmm. Except when you turned the camera around, on the back wall were just these huge horrified, like, scribbled eyes on the wall. Oh. And every time you went to one of these main houses, there'd be an exact copy of the same little girl. Except every time you talked to her, she would again say, you know, I love my mommy. But the text would get more and more distorted and garbled.
Well, then.
And one of the houses was made to look completely ramshackled and falling apart. I think it had all, like, it was made out of all these bookshelves and hidden hallways. It had another doll with an axe and just all these creepy noises, you know, just by using items in the game, but they were, you know, hidden behind other objects, so you couldn't necessarily see them immediately. Mm-hmm. You could just hear them. And then I think the last house, when you got there, like, I think all there's no flowers anymore or anything. The ground is just dead. It's covered in weeds. All the trees are these just like half dead husks. But the house is an exact copy of the first one, except it's just like slightly off and destroyed compared to the first one, I think. And this back room that was blocked off in the first version of the house.
Yeah.
You could go in there now and there's like a copy of the little girl and the doll, and they're like locked in, like fenced off in this section together, surrounded by these statues all facing in, staring at them. You'd go upstairs and it was an exact copy of the little kid's room from before. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like there was like a music player before, but it's like quiet now, and it had the same, you know, kind of easel set up with the kids' drawings, except I think it was like the mother, father, and dog were all scribbled out.
Uh-oh.
Or something like that. And the little girl outside now just speaks complete gibberish. I think there was another, if you like looked around far enough, you could find a wetsuit, which you needed to swim in that game. And you could find this little island with like a hidden gravestone on it and dig it up and find a skeleton buried in it, which is like in game it's, you know, given as like a medical skeleton kind of item,
right? Yeah.
But you know, you're digging up under this grave and you pop up this item and just a skeleton, and it's like, okay, I'm done with this.
Animal Crossing, it's, yeah, cute. It's adorable,
it's soothing, it's calming. Tell your therapist. No, really, tell your therapist. Yeah.
Yes. Sounds like it. Oh, boy.
But, you know, that's kind of an example of how far you could apply yourself and just use what's there.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, on a more positive note, you know, someone has, I think, used the terraforming feature in New Horizons to basically recreate the map from Link to the Past.
Right. I did see that. Yeah.
And that's really cool.
That is. Yeah.
I don't know. That's really neat. But another thing I always find kind of funny, too, is people are like, you know, oh, Animal Crossing is just so calming. It's so chill. I just can, you know, hang out and fish and talk to my buddies and there's no pressure and blah. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of see that if you're, you know, only familiar with the newer games, but the original game, they kind of toned down a lot of the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of funny to see how that's evolved over time in terms of the writing, you know, in yeah. the, like in this one, I feel like at worst, the villagers might sound a little passive aggressive, you know. Oh, you're visiting me again today. Well, that's nice. You know, like that. That's about it.
That's about it. Yeah.
In the original game,
they get annoyed with you.
They were mean. Like here, or in the newer games, relatively, it would feel like, you know, they would always try to find at least some kind of positive spin on things.
Sure.
You know, kind of like, you know, wow, you know, look at your outfit. Well, you have such a unique sense of style. It's really cool that you're that confident. You know, I wish I could, you know, be like you and wear whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
Versus in the first game, it'd be like, oh, did you dress yourself in the dark today? You know, with whatever you found in the garbage dump or stuff like the only thing uglier than your outfit is your face.
Whoa. Or like, hey,
or you know, or and this is like, you know, some of the casual stuff, and sometimes it'd be like if they were in a bad mood, they would just like they would go off. They'd just be like, you know, don't even look at me, don't even talk to me, stop breathing my air. You know,
wow.
Like, yeah, they would be mean.
Like, that's pretty good.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they like just flat out like with the insults. I mean, it's still, you know, Nintendo
friendly,
you know, rated E, but you still, you know, here's your cutesy little, you know, bunny friend
who hates who what you're called, wearing,
who just called you a stupid fathead. And you know,
well, I mean, everyone's head's pretty big in Animal Crossing, to be fair.
It's funny because in this one, actually, I feel like some of the dialogue is a little more self-aware.
Uh-huh.
They're like, I think Gulliver says something like, aw, your heart's as big as your head.
Yeah.
You know, stuff well. Like... Actually, I think I got one of my favorite bits of dialogue I've seen so far in this one was that a character was talking about, you know, Easter eggs falling out of the trees.
Of course.
Because of course. But she said something like, I haven't been this surprised since I sat under a tree and a snowmobile hit me in the head.
Wait, is that a reference to something?
Well, just in terms of, you know, because the way like furniture can be found in trees and...
Oh, okay. And things just fall out of your head.
Just... And people would always be kind of like, oh, you know, here, this like bit of furniture fell out. What is it? It's a refrigerator.
Ow.
She's just like flat out like, oh yeah, a whole, you know, snowmobile fell out of a tree. It's like, as it does.
Of course. Is there an actual snowmobile in the game?
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, there have been in other games.
Okay, good. I was like, but, oh man, I want to ride around on a snowmobile.
You probably can't ride it. It's probably more for show, but...
Well, then I don't want to play this game. Take it back.
I know you don't. But it's also kind of funny because, like, I wouldn't say this is necessarily meant in terms of, you know, cruelty or meanness of any kind, but the first game really seemed to have kind of a theme of, you know, it's like, oh, life comes at you fast.
Sure.
That's just how it is. You roll with it. And that was part of the whole, you know, deal was that you couldn't just save whenever. The game happened and you saved at the end. And that's why they had Mr. Rossetti, who existed to chew you out for trying to save Scum.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you couldn't do. You couldn't save and then, you know, try again. It was either you played for the day or, you know, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
more or less. And, you know, it wasn't like much of an actual punishment, but you would basically have to, you know, waste 8 minutes of this, you know, gopher or whatever yelling at you. And he would be like, oh, what are you going to say? Oh, the batteries ran out. Oh, we had a power outage. Don't give me that. And just, you know, it's just like, I'm sorry. Maybe it actually did happen, but he doesn't care.
It'd just go off.
And yeah, and I think there would be something like, if it happened repeatedly, he's like, okay, you think this is a joke? You think you can just mess with me? You think that I like doing this? You know what? Fine. There goes your save data. Bye.
Oh.
And the screen would go black. And then it would come back, and he's like, oh, you didn't like that, did you? Well, think about that next time, you know?
That seems extra mean for Nintendo if they really did delete your save game doing that.
They threatened to,
but they didn't. Okay.
No, but you know, like, just kind of like I said, things would just kind of come as they did. And, you know, here's your town layout. You don't like it? Well, too bad.
Yep.
That's how it is. And you're going to play this for, you know, 2 to 3 years. Well, get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And another factor was, you know, you would have your villagers. People move in, you don't like them. Oh, well. Your favorite neighbor decides one day they're moving out. Too bad. They're gone. They're moving to greener pastures, and those pastures don't.
Yeah.
But another thing that was, you know, kind of a major thing was that you would sometimes have people come over and be like, you know what? I really like that item you're holding. I think I'm going to take it. And they would. And they wouldn't rob you. They'd be like, oh, don't worry. I'll compensate you. Here's 92 bells, which, you know, could be like nothing. Sometimes it would be fair. Sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes it would be, you know, you spent a month waiting for that raffle I mentioned ahead of time that, you know, you only got one shot at and got an item that you couldn't otherwise get.
Yeah.
And you finally got it and luck was in your favor and you got what you wanted and you're walking home with it. And, you know, some goat or whatever walks up to you and says, hey, it's a nice thing you got there. You know what? It's mine now. And
Can you steal it back?
Not really.
Oh.
You know, it's displayed in his house for the next 8 months.
Just taunting you.
Yeah, and too bad. Or, you know, they'd come over and be like, you know what? I really need some money. Can I take everything in your wallet? Thank you. Oops, now your wallet's empty.
Oh, jeez.
Or like, they'd be like, yeah, I could really use your help. Buy this item off me. Oh, now you have some piece of garbage, hideous shirt that you never wanted. And it took a third of your funds.
Great.
So, you know, it would kind of get to the point where people, like, used to hide their money or not carry it on them as much as possible. Because you never knew when you'd get mugged.
That sounds like a good idea. Keep your stuff and your money off of you at all times.
So, comparatively, a lot of those factors are just not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you get prompts so you can offer items or trades.
Right.
To people. They don't just mug you. They don't just take your money. You don't have to hide your things from them. I think in the last game, there were even scenarios where if you were in their house, you could sometimes point out an item and maybe haggle with them a little, and they might consider giving it to you.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's like, so they've kind of lost some of those, I guess you could say, harder aspects.
Sure.
You know, especially since you can now just save whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And not get screamed at for it. But, you know, it's, things evolve.
Right.
It seems to appeal to people just fine.
I think that, well, it's the first game, so I guess they maybe weren't sure of some things or were still making decisions on what they wanted the game to actually be.
It really was kind of like, you know, like so, a you know, life.
It's kind of like it's just like a prototype designs that didn't really make the cut in sequels. It makes sense.
I mean, I think, like the earliest ideas for the game, I don't think it was even really like a life sim so much. Like, I think they had some of the aspects of that you had to try to, like learn. It was something like, I think it was, I don't think it was necessarily the same kind of genre, but it had some of the same ideas of that you were trying to, you know, befriend people in a town and kind of, you know, build up relationships with them.
Yeah.
And that I think it also had, you know, kind of the whole live clock sort of thing going on. And eventually they kind of scrapped what they were working on and turned it into what became, you know, Animal Crossing as it is now, more or less.
Sure.
I mean, the first game, basically they localized it and more or less based on how successful that was. It was almost like an enhanced port, I guess.
Right, because it originally came out in Japan on the N64, and then they re-released it on the GameCube.
They re-released it with a whole bunch of new features, upgraded features, extra stuff. I think even in some cases a new script.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of went from there. I do kind of miss some aspects of the older stuff. Like, not necessarily the villagers, you know, biting your head off. They weren't in a great mood.
Uh-huh.
But there used to be a lot of kind of fun references in the dialogue to, like, you know, a lot of old songs or movies or whatnot. I mean, I think I know a lot of people kind of, you know, joke with the whole, oh, you know, Tom Nook is such a monster, blah, blah. And then people have kind of turned it around to, actually, he's not that horrible. He doesn't charge you interest. He doesn't set a due date. He doesn't evict you, blah, blah.
Right.
But I think a lot of people don't remember that in the original localized version,
he did
more or less, he introduces himself quoting Psycho.
Okay. Why not?
He comes in and he's like, I'm Tom Nook. I run the town store. You know, however, it's like with that very deliberate pause.
Yeah, yep.
That's what he opens with. That's your first introduction to this character.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's not just that he's a monster capitalist who continually puts you into debt because he just keeps gently suggesting more and more and more and more.
That you pay your bills.
Yeah, no, that he, no, but more upgrades.
Oh, okay.
You know, he kind of likes to just turn, he's like, well, I mean, you could be satisfied with what you have now, but.
It's just like real life.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, like they had a lot of like these little things, like, you know, sometimes you would find a villager asleep outside their house and you would wake them up and they'd look around and go, oh, this is not my beautiful house.
Oh, localizers. They had way too much fun. That's what it was.
Right? And, oh gosh, what else? Oh, sometimes, like Captain, who was like the little Kappa character.
Uh huh.
I'm pretty sure it was from him. I think he'd be like rowing you along in the, and he'd be singing, and then he'd pause the song and be like, you ever spend a night in a Hyrulean prison?
Whoa. Hey, Captain, calm down.
Yeah, right? I don't think everyone's seen Airplane or whatever, like, come on. It's a little retro, you know? But there'd be, like, a lot of little, like, you know, like, very old song notes or things like that. And it was fun, though.
Right.
But there was a lot of detail. There was a ton of dialogue. So obviously they had to mix it up, because otherwise they probably would have just lost their minds anyway.
Of course.
I remember because, like they had the letter system that was kind of clunky and not really that liked in the old games. And as I kind of said, you know, since villagers spontaneously relieving you of your money was an issue, most people would end up eventually just kind of using their letters as a way of hiding their money.
Oh, okay.
more than anything, but they used to kind of try to encourage you very much to use the in-game mailing system. You know, mail your neighbors, send them gifts, send them correspondence. Cute. It's fun. And the thing was, if you didn't have proper spacing and capitalization and punctuation, they would just get mad at you.
They would.
It didn't matter if you sent a gift or whatever. They would just be like, what is this nonsense you sent me? So the thing was, you could kind of trick it, because actually all it was really checking was what some people didn't know, because, you know, they didn't want to write a letter, so they would just, you know, do the equivalent of keyboard bashing, send it along, and then they'd be like, well, this is just garbage.
Sure. Yeah,
this is, no, get out of here. But like I said, actually all it was checking was capitalization, punctuation, and spacing,
right?
So you could fill it with gibberish, you just had to make it look like, so you, it was plausible.
So you capitalize the first letter, mash the keys, hit the space bar, mash the keys again, put the space bar, mash the keys, then put a period. You're done.
Yeah.
Fancy. There you go.
And, like, you know, maybe make it two sentences so it looks more like something.
Yeah.
But that would work just fine.
not a very smart parser there.
But it was interesting that the system could look for that.
Yeah, true.
And it was annoying, too, though, because, you know, the villagers would hold on to these letters almost indefinitely.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, 2 years later, they'd be like, oh, do you remember that letter you sent me? And they'd pull it up on the screen, and it would be like, you know, I hate you, please die. Or, you know, how did you net them through that? And it's like, oh, yeah, good memory.
It's a great one. It's perfect.
But what really surprised me once was, just out of boredom, I sent a letter in French, and I actually got a reply partially written in French.
Wow.
And it was something along the lines of, like, you know, it was, like, very basic, but it was like, you know, bonjour, comment ça va? Sorry, my French isn't very good. But anyway, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I seem to remember that I tried it in a couple other languages and didn't get similar results.
Well, it makes sense if it was the North American version releasing in Canada. I mean,
possibly.
Since you got to have the French localization for that.
Yeah, but I mean, I was playing in English. Come on.
I know, but still.
But I just, like, you know, that was, it was a neat detail, and it was a lot of effort they put into that. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, here's the same conversation over again. Here's the same dialogue trees over again.
Yeah.
And that can get a little tedious, especially when they're telling you, you know, did you know that totally not Easter Bunny Day is coming up on the 12th? You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Did you know? Did you know? Because we've been telling you for the last week.
There's eggs everywhere.
Eggs everywhere. Oh my God.
There's eggs raining from the sky.
They literally were.
Yes.
I'm so glad they're gone.
No more eggs.
But, you know, at the same time, they can still, you know, they have dialogue that will change with the seasons, with the things they can always seed in more dialogue with updates, which I think they did in the last game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't have to be tedious, but I do, you know, I like some of the snark, I guess. There's been a few conversations here and there that have been, you know, cute. They've been sort of fun. It's like, oh, like I said, some of them have been a little more self-aware.
Uh-huh.
I think there's, it's possible for some of the characters to kind of go off on a little rant where, like, you ever notice how this doesn't make a whole lot of sense? Like, why are we selling items to Tom Nook to get money so we can use that money to pay off a loan to Tom Nook? How does that work? Maybe we really shouldn't question this economy, you know? Maybe we should just, you know, smile and nod. What do you think?
The Nook economy is working.
Yeah.
The trickle down Nook economy.
Don't worry. One day you can be just as successful.
It all trickles down to Nook. That's the secret.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a reverse pyramid scheme. Multi-level marketing.
Wow. We've cracked the case. We've figured it out.
But, you know, so, like, there's been, you know, some stuff like that that's been kind of cute. But like I said, I'm not saying I necessarily need references to, like, you know, I don't know, 40-year-old movies and songs.
Yeah.
And stuff, but it was kind of fun. They also used to have, you know, more items and things that were nods to other Nintendo franchises and the likes.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I haven't seen a ton of that. There have been a couple little nods to Splatoon, which kind of makes sense because
yeah,
it's, if I understand correctly, most of the same development team now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you catch a squid out of the ocean.
Yes.
Because almost everything has kind of a standard phrase or pun or whatever, but for that one you get a few variances where it's like oh, I had an inkling I might catch this, or, you know, oh, I caught a squid, it's off the hook. It's like
yeah,
I see what you did there. But you know what, along that line, I was very disappointed to find that I couldn't use my amiibos, my non-Animal Crossing amiibo, to pull up some of the special villagers, because there was a huge update in New Leaf at one point,
right,
that added a ton of content for free.
And that was like 3 years after the game originally came out or something wild.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like, because they did the Animal Crossing amiibo, but it was like several years after they released that game, they did a huge update.
Yeah, I mean, they had those amiibo. Like, they had like amiibo reader cards too, I think. Like, you can get like cards for, like, I don't know, hundreds of characters or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and then they tied it in with Happy Home Designer and stuff like that too, so.
Yeah, and that word game thing that, like, no one played.
Oh yeah, Amiibo Festival, yep.
But all that aside, but they had some where you could use some Splatoon amiibos and Zelda amiibos and get these themed characters. So, like, you could use you could get, like, a bird character that was themed off of Medley from Wind Waker. Or you could get a wolf character who was themed off of Wolf Link from Twilight Princess.
And they don't have those this time?
Well, it doesn't seem like it, because there were two squirrels who essentially cosplay Callie and Marie from Splatoon.
Right.
And they were super cute. So I figured, well, you know, let me give this a shot. My Marie amiibo, unfortunately, doesn't work anymore because Midna, my cat, went through a period of throwing amiibos to the floor every night.
Yum, yum.
You know, not doing that cat thing where it's like, oh, hey, does gravity still work? Let me see. Yeah, I guess it's good. No, she would get up and, like, slap these things across the room for some reason. Well, and, you know, so
they're fun toys. Whap.
You get up in the morning and there's, like, just amiibos. So, yeah, poor Marie, I found in two pieces one day.
Aww.
Basically, her, like, upper half became disconnected from her lower half, and that, for some reason, prevented it from working. But I'm going off on a tangent here. My point is...
That's weird.
I tried to use the Cali amiibo to see if I would get the Cali-themed squirrel in New Horizons, and the game was basically like, you dumbass. That's not an Animal Crossing amiibo. What do you think you're doing? And I was very hurt.
Aww.
So, I don't know. Maybe they'll update it later.
Maybe. Although amiibo have kind of fallen out of popularity. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Just because they're producing them at a snail's pace doesn't mean they don't intend to necessarily use them.
True, but I don't know. It just seems like the amiibo fever is kind of over. I think people realized, we're not going to actually make money and be able to send our kids through college on amiibos. Oops.
Well, yeah. Maybe, you know, fidget spinners didn't quite work out that way either, did they?
No, of course not. That had an even shorter shelf life than amiibo did.
It's kind of funny. There's an island New Horizons that has, like, a lake on it that people are calling Fidget Spinner Island. because of the shape of the lake, but I was calling it Half-Life Reconfirmed.
Well, I mean,
because it kind of looked like,
well, I mean, Half-Life logo. If you look if you look at it a certain way, it looks like a fidget spinner. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but I guess it's, you know, semi-officially Fidget Spinner Island and not Half-Life Free is totally going to happen any day now.
Of course.
Any minute now.
Half-Life not 3 confirmed, because they did that prequel. The VR prequel.
It's not the same. It's not even like being thrown some bones. Kind of like, here's some of the chicken skin that didn't get fried right.
I don't know. It looks pretty cool. Looks pretty good, but
I don't know. It's not what people want. You know it's not. Okay,
I'm actually surprised there was less of a backlash than I anticipated from it, and it did pretty well. So
I think people
Who knows? Maybe Valve will get the taste for making games again, and they'll finally make Half-Life 3 for real. But we'll see.
Making game. I don't understand.
What?
No, okay, but you know, something with Animal Crossing again. Sorry, just kind of thinking, and
okay,
something I thought that was kind of nice with New Horizons is that. Or at least that I was kind of pleasantly surprised with, is that as much as they, you know, kind of do change things up between games to a degree, there's also a sense of, you know, familiarity. You show up in your new town, you have your, you know, little puny starter house or tent, be it as it may be, and put yourself in massive debt.
Of course.
Struggle to start to make money, you know, have whatever random furniture bits you got your hands on and pretend it looks nice for a week or two before you get something coherent going on, you know, so on and so forth. And a lot of the items throughout the series have been, you know, kind of mainstays, and there's nothing really wrong with that, but
sure,
it kind of feels like they finally kind of got to a point with this one where they were like, just because things have always been done this way doesn't mean they have to be.
Nintendo's generally like that, though.
Yeah.
They don't really change much.
But that's what I thought was kind of nice, was that basically, like, okay, you know, early on, I think one of the villagers was like, oh, here, do you want this, whatever, you know, here's this item. And I saw the name of it, and it's like, oh, it's this shirt. I know exactly what it looks like.
Right.
It's, you know, the same shirt that's been throughout the whole series under this name.
Mm-hmm.
Not really my thing. I know someone who might be interested in it, though. It looked nothing like what I thought it did.
So they changed up the design, huh?
They changed up the design massively.
Huh.
And while there's still a lot of things, you know, that are like the same names, but it's not just like, here's the same wallpaper that looks the same as you remember for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Here's the same shirt that's the exact same design that's been forever. They've done a ton of that. They've refreshed a lot of the designs. They've updated them. They've made them nicer. The clothing, they've put so much effort into it. There is so much stuff in there. And kind of like, you know, real clothing, you can actually get variations of a lot of the stuff.
That's pretty cool.
So it's not just, you know, here's this one shirt in this one color. There's all these different kind of cuts and designs and patterns and everything. Even if it's not just like, you know, that's like, aside from the stuff you can make yourself, like, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, for a bit, Ian was sort of doing a thing where whatever he ended up with, he would wear for a while, mm-hmm. no matter what it was, which I think is how he ended up with, like, this bright yellow cheerleader uniform and with a duck bill and, oh, God, there's probably some stupid hat and then, like, socks. You know, just kind of whatever. Just... You know, the duck bill, man. Ugh.
Everyone wants to be Scoot.
But, you know, then there's like lots of neat, you know, it's like, there's like, ooh, I found this really cool, like, tuxedo patterned dress. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's really classy looking. And then I found, I guess it's a sushi bodysuit.
Okay.
It looks like compacted rice with fish on the back.
Sure.
It's very detailed, very shiny. Uh-huh. Apparently there are all different styles with all different fish. I haven't seen all those yet, but I sent it to John Gray because of course I did.
Of course.
But like, so they've put in a ton of effort into that. And actually something that's kind of nice too, is that they, I guess, kind of dipped their toes into this in the last title a bit, but they seem to have really just kind of, I guess, blown the door open in terms of personal expression. Mm-hmm. With your little character, avatar, or whatever you want to call it. Because in previous games, again, kind of following that whole, this is life and this is how it goes and you're stuck with whatever.
Yeah.
You would basically start the game, answer a few random questions from this character on a train that didn't necessarily seem to be related to anything. And that would help determine your character's face. Hmm. And you would be stuck with that.
Yeah.
Your face would be your face.
Just like real life.
Yes, which is exactly. But, you know, if you looked permanently half asleep and cross-eyed, or like you were staring into the abyss at all times, too bad. Mm-hmm. That's your face now.
Yep.
And in New Leaf, comparatively, you could... change your hairstyle once a day. You could use unnatural hair colors to some degree if you wanted. Mm-hmm. And you could eventually get colored contacts to change your eye color as well. You could also, basically clothing wasn't gender locked. So if you were playing as a male character and wanted to wear a dress or something that looked dress-like, you know, if you wanted to call it a robe that you designed yourself, but it used the shape of a dress.
Sure.
As the basis, then fine, you could do that. Mm-hmm. And the characters would kind of comment on it, but they would let it go. You know, they would be like, oh, you know, that's from the men's collection, but I'm sure you could pull it off. Or, you know, just like they wouldn't make a big deal about it. But one thing that always kind of bugged me was that you could unlock the other gendered hairstyles eventually. You didn't start with it. But when the hairdresser would suggest them to you, and if you said no, she would act like she had horribly insulted you. And It's, you know, like, she'd be like, hey, you look really good with a boy's cut. Do you want to try it? No, I don't feel like it. Oh my, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to insult you. It's like, whoa. I just don't want the fade. Okay. I like my updo. It's fine. It's not an insult. I just don't want it. You know? It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
She must be Canadian.
Well, here's the thing. And along that line, furthermore, was skin tone. In the summer months, your character would tan.
Right.
Which is kind of a nice, you know, subtle aspect of gameplay, I guess. And if you went to the island, I think it would happen faster. Mm-hmm. The thing was, if you wanted your character to be darker skinned, That was the only way to do it.
Aw. Nintendo.
And if you wanted to maintain that, that meant you would, even like, especially in winter months.
Yeah.
That meant you would have to bring your character pretty much daily out to this island, have them be out there for, I think it was like at least an hour a day or something. I can't remember. Or else their skin would start to fade again. And it's like, okay, you know.
Oh, Nintendo.
Now, in this game, pretty much off the bat, some of it you have to use some items to do this, but they're fairly easy to obtain. And otherwise, You can have whatever hairstyle you want. You can change your face whenever you feel like it. You can wear whatever clothing you want at any point you want. You can change your skin tone right from the start and not have to worry about maintaining it or changing it or anything. And on top of that, all the dialogue pretty much uses like singular they and their or them.
So they go, so they go fully gender neutral almost.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you can pretty much. Yeah. So if you decide that, you know what, I feel like my character is going to be more masculine presenting one day or the other.
Yep.
You can just change their clothes and maybe, I don't know, tweak their eyes or hair a little and go for it.
Perfect.
And they actually, from my understanding, this was very deliberate on the part of, I think, one of the lead designers, who said that they were very, like, I guess, pro gender expression. So, you know what? As much as there's like that, like I said, kind of like, you know, here's how it is and too bad for you, kind of having the freedom to just do whatever you want and express yourself how you want and design things however you want. And if you want, you know, turn half your island into an ocean, which I do. I don't know why, but okay. You can kind of do it now.
Nice.
And I don't know, that's kind of neat.
That is. That's pretty cool. Way to go, and Nintendo.
Now and now there are no Easter eggs.
Yay! Everything is fixed.
Well,
most things are fixed.
There are some areas that could stand to be improved. There are. I'm honestly surprised that some of this wouldn't have come up during, you know, playtesting.
That's, well, I mean, it could have, but it may still have not fixed it. You know how it goes.
I mean, some of these have been pretty common complaints, though. So, given how quickly they responded to the Easter egg abundance,
yeah,
I'm kind of hoping that they would make these kind of quality of life adjustments. I'd be honestly surprised if they didn't.
Oh, yeah. At this point, Nintendo seems to have embraced patching, so I'm sure you'll get some tweaks here and there.
Yeah. I mean, if so many people are saying this is annoying, the crafting system could be so much better with this.
Right.
Then do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Anyway. So
have we talked enough Animal Crossing?
I don't know. I mean, you're still not going to play it, so.
That's true. But hey, you know, I mean, I don't hate it. I'm just not going to play it, you know? That's how I am with a lot of games.
One thing.
Okay, go for it.
One thing.
Uh-huh.
In all the other games, all the other Animal Crossing titles I've played, tarantulas were excessively rare.
Uh-oh.
I'm pretty sure they would only come out in the summertime and only at night.
Uh-huh.
I am pretty sure that in the years I put into New Leaf, I only saw two or three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how. I've lost count of how many I have been ambushed by.
Are they trying to trigger everyone's arachnophobia? Is this a thing now?
Oh, they must be.
Wow. That's mean, Nintendo.
I built this very cute little outdoor kind of patio cafe section the other night.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, as an experiment, sort of see how it would look.
Mm-hmm.
Very first person to use it wasn't one of the villagers.
Got a tarantula.
It was a tarantula.
Nice.
And when it saw me on the other side of the fence, it went nuts. And so I had to try to, like, build this whole crazy network of, like, holes and pitfalls and stuff to try to lure it out very carefully so I could try to bait it towards me without it tearing off my face so I could try to catch it.
So much for a nice, relaxing time, huh?
That's the thing, too, is
freak everyone out with spiders.
You're out walking sometime, and all of a sudden, this thing will leap out from behind a house and charge at you with stunning speed.
Wow. All right, this is my favorite thing about this game now.
Well, I kind of mentioned how, like, there are, like, little temporary islands you can visit to get resources or find things or whatever.
Uh-huh.
One of those islands that can load more or less is it's relatively rare, but it is essentially Tarantula Island.
Oh boy!
It has very little on it, except for, I believe it's an 8-sided thin river.
Uh huh.
And the landmass in the middle of that river does nothing but spawn tarantulas.
Wow!
Non-stop.
Nice.
Non-stop. In, like, groups of, like, five or more.
Wow. That sounds like hell for arachnophobes.
And that's... Well, you know another thing, too? Like, I said how, you know, before, like, with the clothing and like how they've kind of just reused the same things for so long.
Uh-huh.
With the like fish and bugs, it's kind of cute because they used the old style graphics as sort of icons within the menus.
Uh-huh.
So those still look the same. But beyond that, they redid everything else. So they look really nice. Like the fish and stuff look near photorealistic.
Huh.
They look really cool, actually.
Huh.
You know, like all their scales and details and things look really great. So that said, the tarantulas are so hairy. So wiggly.
Well, they're tarantulas. That's what you get.
I don't like that. They used to essentially just be like eight-legged silhouettes.
Right.
That would scamper around. Now they're actually
fully detailed. I don't know.
So bad.
Okay.
But you know what? Actually, that's something I have to say too. You know, as much as everything is very cartoony stylistically.
Right.
The lighting effects are very nice.
Oh yeah.
As the sun and moon move throughout the day and night, obviously, the way the light will glint off the water or...
Yeah, I've seen some screenshots. It looks really nice.
It looks really nice. And like I said, it will like actually kind of flash off the water different ways. Certain types of furniture or things, like at night, the moonlight will just glow off of them. The fish will glow or, you know, glisten when you're picking them out of the water, depending on the time of day. The lighting will look completely different on them. Mm-hmm. It's really, really nicely done. So like I said, it's kind of nice that they've taken a lot of steps instead of just doing the same thing over and over and over again. There's a lot of areas that they've put a good amount of effort into.
Yeah, they took advantage of the Switch.
Yeah.
And sounds like they did some good upgrades.
Yeah, and there's like lots of weird little details, like some of the furniture... like will affect other pieces of furniture. Like if you have a fan on in the room and it points towards a plant, the plant will actually be by the air, right? Like the fan's breeze.
Huh.
And even if it's like an oscillating fan. So when, you know, it's not pointed at the plant will stop moving.
Right.
It's just nice. You know, sometimes some of these things in the houses would literally, you know, flat sprites.
Right.
Compared to other objects, and now they're very highly detailed. A lot of them, you know, you can interact with, or they move or do something compared to just being set pieces.
Right. Yep.
So
that's pretty cool.
It's nice. It's nice. They don't insult you anymore.
Aww,
it's nice.
That's no fun.
I swear, if people don't believe me, they should go look up. Just like I'm pretty sure you can find like on YouTube. GameCube Animal Crossing Rude Villagers.
There's probably a compilation out there somewhere. Or
there
like someone's just compiled a list of all of the
like especially
mean quotes and stuff.
Like what are now kind of like the, I guess they're kind of sort of the upper class female villagers and sort of the old man type villagers. They used to be extremely snobby and extremely cranky, respectively.
Yeah.
They used to be horrible to interact with. Everything was like a put down or impatience or something, and now it's just, you know, they're just, you know, the one's more refined and the other's a bit more, you know, worldly, maybe.
Sure. That makes sense.
Okay. I guess that's a lot of rambling.
All righty. Well, thank you for joining me again, Lee. It is always fun.
Sorry that there was a bit of a delay.
Sure. Nobody will know.
I know. I just feel bad. Okay.
Nobody will know because this is coming out tomorrow on time.
My God.
As in, by the way, we're recording this on Sunday to peel back the curtain. Oh, no. Now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Sure. Whatever battle you're going to get into in Animal Crossing, I guess you'll get into a battle with the tarantulas.
The whole island full. And you know what else? There's scorpions too, but...
Sweet.
Haven't gotten to that yet.
Sounds like Sounds like home to me. Scorpions and tarantulas everywhere. All right.
I mean, I was visiting someone else's island, and we all started smacking someone else with bug nets. I guess it's kind of a fight.
Sure, we'll go with that. If you want to fight with that, with the villager, I guess you'll just have to play Smash Brothers.
Oh, that was an actual player, not an NPC.
I know.
Okay.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get into the Q&A. Let's bring Ian back out here. Thanks again, Lee.
Oh, poor Ian. poor wheezy Ian.
Yes. But that's okay. Let's get him in here. All right, it's time to get into the Q&A. Let's bring Ian back, and we're keeping quiet for now, so hopefully he can last through the whole session here. If you want to ask some questions to Ian or to me, you can email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. Hit us up on Twitter at bumblecast. You can also send us 2 coffees on Ko-fi, and you can also leave questions down in the YouTube comments or via Patreon comments or messages, and you can also leave it in the Q&A channel on Discord. Keep in mind that we do curate the questions, so if the question has been answered within the last few episodes, is on the FAQ, or is about past Sonic plans, we likely won't answer it. If your question hasn't been answered in a while, check those places. And if it has not been answered in a while and it doesn't fall under any of those, let me know. If we haven't answered it in 2 months, maybe ping us again with it. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's get started with some priority Q&A from the folks over at patreon.com/bumblecast. This one comes to us courtesy of Koopaling Crew. I got this idea when Sega presented Tribot as their annual April Fool's news. I know fan characters are very touchy when it comes to copyrights, but if Sega themselves make an official fan character, do you actually have access to possibly bring them to the IDW Sonic comic?
Like all things, that depends on Sega. I could ask. Don't immediately have that on the docket, but you know, I don't know.
All right. Next question comes from Andrew D. After the events of Worlds Collide rebooted Sonic's multiverse, I recall the idea of a multiverse getting scrapped due to issues with the real-world ownership of the Cosmic Interstate. Then we wound up getting some sort of multiverse with various Capcom and Sega franchises in Worlds Unite. Can you share or explain how the multiverse, or whatever it was, worked after the reboot? Did Blaze's world exist in its own multiverse alongside the other franchises?
Why are we getting so many questions about the multiverse?
I don't know.
Why is this such... Okay, so in old Archie, the multiverse was just variations on Sonic's world all connected through the Cosmic Interstate. Neat idea, off the table, it's gone now, bye-bye, forget about it. Post-reboot, anything that wasn't part of Sonic's immediate universe, physical universe, is part of the multiverse. So Blaze's universe, her dimension, is part of the multiverse. Anything that's, you know, not Sonic, the Mega Man, the Street Fighter, the Breath of Fire, whatever, all of those are individual universes, and since they're multiple universes, they're part of the multiverse. They're like bubble tea, just individual realities all suspended in the great void of crossover nothingness. Nothing interconnecting, it's just, they're there. They're all together, they're all present, just in their own little spheres of influence.
I think people are just fascinated by the idea of a multiverse, and that's probably why it keeps coming up, but it's definitely a strange thing. It's like, well, the multiverse is kind of out the window for now, for the most part, so I don't know.
The idea of a multiverse is not exclusive to Sonic. It's
no.
A sci-fi borderline quasi-real physics thing. It's nobody... You know, it's not a comic book thing one person can claim. It's just, it is.
Right. Here's this one from Diane W. When the Council of Acorn, apart from Rotor and Uncle Chuck, chose to side with Nagus, despite the fact that he is clearly the bad guy, were they all brainwashed into letting him become king and siding with him purely out of fear? And was there going to be a story where the council gets disbanded for arbitrarily siding with someone like Nagus? As well as refusing to allow the Freedom Fighters to go out on missions, even though permissions were never required in earlier issues, as well as other consequences, like, for example, Tails having a major fallout with his mother for betraying him and his friends. Diane, I appreciate your question, but periods. We've been over this. Not with you, but we've been over this in general. Please use periods. not one long sentence. Thank you. Okay.
The thing with the Council of Acorn is I didn't get the chance to delve into all of its inner workings as much as I wanted to. There was a lot of nuance that just didn't make it to the final product, in part because it's a Sonic book and heavy politics don't really belong in a Sonic book. To a degree, it was Nagus's magic influencing the council to give in to their worse inclinations, but it's not that he mind controlled them. And part of it too was folks are vilifying the council just because they didn't immediately agree with the good guys, and that's very narrow reading of the material. The Council of Acorn was brand new, so they needed to establish their legitimacy and their rule of law. When Nagus arrived, he had a fairly solid claim to the throne. So if the Council of Acorn said, no, we're going to ignore the fact that King Acorn handed the crown to you, immediately throws out their legitimacy because they're not following their own rules. The entire point of the council is because King Max was a very, very bad king, and they were cleaning up his messes. And just because they allowed Nagus to take the throne did not mean that they were going to follow him. The entire point of the council was to act as a check and balance to the monarchy. One of the things we were going to look at moving towards 200 was the council constantly undermining Nagus, who wanted to do everything his way, and the council going, no, that's not how we do things anymore. I had very specific ideas of how each counselor was going to work politically. We'd do a quick overview of that, because you can get hints of it in the material if you know what to look for, but it's not really overtly stated. So it makes sense that not everyone picked up what I was putting down. Like, Uncle Chuck, I figured, would be the best statesman out of the group. He's seen the most, he's endured the most, but he would also be a little more inclined to trust the Freedom Fighters just to do their thing. Now, we're not in Knothole anymore at this point. It's not a ragtag group of rebels fighting the oppressive empire. The Republic of Acorn is an established city with a major nanite complex protected them, and the Freedom Fighters are more of an active military unit. It makes sense that they can't just go out willy-nilly do their own thing if there are other priority targets. You could argue that they know what they're doing, but it's also not a scenario where they are just kids fighting for survival. They are the active heroes of this city-state, and it makes sense that they need some direction. Uncle Chuck would be inclined to defer to them. Hamlin, I wanted to be kind of bitter that the Substitute Legion was more or less forgotten, and his rising to power in the council was to regain some authority and some control after having been, you know, just sidelined. And in that regard, he was a little bitter towards the Freedom Fighters and more inclined to make sure that they follow the rules. He wasn't supposed to be a villain. It was just supposed to be he was kind of a jerk with an agenda, which happens in politics. Kind of along that line, Dylan wasn't meant to be a particularly good statesman. He kind of ran because Hamlin said, hey, we should do this. We don't get to serve anymore on the front lines. We should at least serve in the government. And Hamlin would kind of push on him to say, we're voting this way. And Dylan, being kind of weak-willed, would just run with it. Again, not because Hamlin was a villain, but because he had an agenda, whether or not that was right or wrong. Penelope, meanwhile, was going to be about as middle of the road as any of the counselors were going to be. She would be kind of the swing vote, kind of a pragmatist, mostly because she needed something interesting to her character, because she had no real character at that point. Rosemary was super anti-monarchy. The fact that the king had a seat on the council was a concession to her. She would prefer there was no crown involved at all. So she would be actively undermining Nogus every step of the way. And I'm sad we didn't get to see a little bit of that. I know folks were cranky that Amadeus and Rosemary were not, you know, exactly how they wanted them to be. And I think seeing her actively going with her scruples in a way that was favorable towards the heroes would have turned a couple people around. And Rotor was going to be very blatantly freedom fighter biased because, you know, he was a freedom fighter. He would see them as the answer to everything, whether or not it was necessarily best for the council or for the country. Because, again, he was with them. He would defer to their judgment and think, okay, they're going to handle it. I trust them to do this sort of thing. Even if it didn't necessarily have the best outcome in the long term. And he abdicated. It's been a while. Didn't Nina's mom campaign and take his seat? Shoot, it's been so long, I don't remember. But that's the rough idea of what the council was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be council good, Nogus bad, or council bad, freedom fighters good. It was supposed to be each character had their own political view and their own agenda on how to run the newly restructured country and how that would necessarily conflict with a ragtag group like the freedom fighters who are just used to doing their own thing. Nogus would be just the straight up bad guy, and you would see where the gray or conflicting morality would be able to unify as one against a clearly evil individual, which you would think would be extremely topical today, but what are you gonna do?
All right, let's go ahead and get into the standard Q&A. Our first question comes from Valerie. Can the Phantom Ruby create other Phantom Rubies? Then you can be like Oprah and go, you get a Phantom Ruby, and you get a Phantom Ruby. Everyone gets a Phantom Ruby.
I would be laughing if I had the lung capacity. The Phantom Ruby and their prototypes were really, really badly explained. I mean, Eggman uses the real one to summon a sun, and he's under the impression that it will have the power to just straight up nuke the entire resistance. But we know that can't be completely real, because if he did summon the sun at that proximity, they would all be vaporized by the corona. But let's just not get into that. The point is, the Phantom Ruby seems to make copies that are as close to life as possible with all their properties. So I guess you could say that the Phantom Ruby could create a Phantom Ruby that would have the ability to create Phantom Rubies. You could also argue that they're not perfect copies because Classic Sonic was able to take out Chaos Zero with one hit. It's there are some knots that you just can't untangle.
It's complicated. It's always complicated. Next question comes from Errant Harpy. You mentioned that you pitched Marine in IDW but were shot down. Is Sega just done with her? Do you know? Efficient Sticks showed up and looked so similar, it's like they forgot she existed. Did they give you a reason you're allowed to disclose? I just miss her. Me too. Me too, Errant Harpy. Me too.
I can't talk about it too much right now since it would spoil the story that she was going to be in. But they did give a reason. I think it's a very silly reason. But it just means that she's benched for now. She's not barred from use, and she will most likely show up down the line. Basically, when Sega says, you can't do that right now, it just lights a fire underneath me to find out when now is.
All right. Our next question comes from Devicoon. I realize I may be stepping into sizzling grounds here, but I have to ask. In the midst of the Zombot apocalypse, as I'll call it, why haven't Gunn gotten involved, much less go after the high-speed carrier Sonic?
Because Gunn is on the human world, and this story takes place on Sonic's world. Don't you just love the two-world scenario?
Makes total sense. And up next, here's one from Phrasmatron. Did you ever talk with any of the original writers of Sonic Underground for the epilogue in Lost Hedgehog Tales? Or is what will be in there all from you?
All from me. I watched the entirety of Sonic Underground, and I took notes, and I put together a story that I would hope would feel like a satisfying conclusion to the fans of the show. I know most of them would probably want a, you know, finale season or more than one issue, but given that I was only given one extra length comic to work with, I like to think I had a decent idea, but that got the kibosh. So, you know, hopefully those fans will be able to tolerate just notes when Lost Hedgehog Tales eventually comes to be.
And our last question comes from Divine Blood. Is miles per hour equal to miles per hour really a thing? Because my brain is leaking out of my ears.
Welcome to 1992, buddy. That's been around for a while. Now, I tease, but to be fair, you're not the only one who's just picking up on this 28 years after the fact. But at least you're acknowledging it, because I have seen people who go, that's not real. It was never a joke. It was never intended that way. Meh, meh, meh. It's like, yeah, it was. It totally was. Get over yourself. You didn't see it and you feel dumb. Just accept it.
That there's an article on the Hard Times under their hard drive label that has the headline, disturbing poll shows majority of population still unaware of wordplay in miles per hour. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty good there. And with that, I think it's time to let Ian go take a rest. Get some rest, buddy. You've done more than enough here. I've got the rest. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your continued support and your patience. I am really happy that Ian was able to finally join in. It's been a long time. And I'm glad to hear him, even if he does sound a bit like Grandpa Simpson. All right. Before we get out of here, I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to all the lovely patrons who help make this show possible. Special thanks to Daniel H., Alex P., Connell T., Salute Your Cat, Bat, Blue Title Gamer, Koopaling Crew, Andrew D., Chris A., John B., Diane W., James K., Jennifer R., Rev in the Light, Lisa M., PC the Unicorn, Frederick, Degama F. Wow, Justin S., Papa Tripopoulos, Silly String, Tukaro, Scruffy Matt, Lee H.K., Overthinking Films, Don B., John M., Chauvel, Mike B., Duizdizdin, Samuel P., Justin G., Andrew F., Dave M., Sam Cybercat, and Final Neil. If you want to check out Ian's body of work, head on over to bumbleking.com, where you can find all of his previous works and everything going on with him over there. I'd say con schedules, but there's no cons currently scheduled because of a certain public health crisis going on. So maybe see the cancellations, I guess. I don't know. But you can also check Ian out over at IanFlynnBKC on Twitter. And don't forget to check out his original comic, Drogoon, at drogoon.com, where he does the writing, and the masterful Adam Bryce Thomas does the drawings over at drogoon.com. That's drogune.com. You can find me over at KyleJCRB on Twitter. You can also head on over to kngi.org, where you can find archived episodes of the Bumblecast in MP3 downloadable format. You can also find my other show, Nitro Game Injection, which I do every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time over there as well. You can listen to it live on Facebook, YouTube, or on the station itself. There's a live stream going on 24/7 that you can tune in and hear some awesome video game music and video game music remixes, so be sure to check that out. Also, you can follow the show on Twitter at Bumblecast. You can also email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, and anywhere else you get lovely, beautiful podcasts. Or crappy podcasts. I mean, whatever. It's fine. Don't forget to also head on over to the Bumble Store at shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore. We can get some Bumble gear for your Bumble abode. Decorate up, decorate a bit, you know, keep things nice and classy with some Bumblecast mugs and stickers and all that fun stuff. I think they have stickers. I don't know, actually. Go look. Shop.spreadshirt.com/bumblestore. And, of course, can't forget about the Twitch streams. We're streaming live on Twitch at twitch.tv/bumblecastgaming, Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, usually. Also, several times throughout the week. Try to keep on that, but, you know, it's kind of tough. I usually try to stream on Wednesdays and Fridays, so look out for those as well. And, of course, you can also keep an eye on Twitter and see what's going on there. That's going to do it for this edition of the Bumblecast. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully we'll be back soon. Bye! All right, are you ready to start?
Nope.
Okay, good. Then here we go. Let's see. Yeah, we're about 2 minutes after 4:30 here, so we're just talking animal. Huh?
4:30.
Whatever, 7:30, whatever time it is. I don't know. Don't make fun of me for being in the past.
You're living in the past, Kyle.
I mean, it's true in more ways than one, but you know, you don't have to point it out.
I could go in all sorts of directions here, but I won't.
Okay.
I won't.
Why not? Now you're no
because
fun.
Because it's mean.
Has that ever stopped you before?
Well, we'll get to that.
You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.
Actually, sorry, I legit just found a clip of some Animal Crossing rudeness bits.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh. It's like, you little sniveling wretch, you utter waste.
Whoa. Holy crap. Calm down. Jeez. Whoa.
But imagine being like a young kid playing this.
Yeah. Man. Brutal.
You fat, bloated idiot.
Oh. Oh man.
I shouldn't say this, but you should limit your wardrobe to clothing you can actually pull off.
I mean, that one's not super rude, but it's kind of rude. Not compared to the rest
of
them.
I'm far too busy to waste my time talking to you.
Talking to the likes of you? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, you little weasel, here I am trying to give you valuable life wisdom and you don't pay attention. Well, you don't have to tell me twice, you little know-it-all.
Oh, wow. They had a lot of fun, apparently, with the localization on that one.
Could you do this favor to me? You look like you could use the exercise.
Oh.
Do you write letters? The character answered no. You don't, huh? Well, I guess that's your business. I mean, you probably don't have any friends to write.
Oh. Man. Man. That's pretty good.
Hold on a second. Hey, you're such a slob. Don't you ever clean your house?
Well, I mean, that's a legitimate criticism right there.
If you have time to wander around aimlessly, don't you have time to clean?
You got time to lean. You got time to clean.
That's so yucky. You're yucky. What's with you? Get away from me. You smell. Hey, nutcase. You don't say hi, good day at night. Stand in my way, you big ninny. Your attitude, it stinks. You again, don't you have anywhere else you could be?
Is that when you go back into their house multiple times in the same day?
This person says, hey, when it comes to sports, like, say, golf, do you prefer to play or watch? And the person says, watching? You? Seriously? You just, like, sitting on your behind like a lazy slug and watching? Someone says, hey, could you do a favor for me? And they say, no. I'm sorry, did you, like, refuse me? Is that what you just said? Yeah, you did. What's with that? Are you jerking me around? Fine, I guess that's it. Forget it and forget you. You look like you could use some fashion sense. But you know what? Maybe you're better off shopping from the discount racks.
Man, this game is mean.
I told you.
But it's funny.
Yeah. This person's like, oh yeah, because sometimes when like you get stung by bees or whatever, you know, they'll be like, oh no, look at your poor face. And sometimes they might even help with it.
Uh-huh.
This one just flat out said, you deserve to get stung.
That's pretty good.
That's one thing. I haven't had it happen to me yet because I can catch the wasps before they get me. But I've seen some people have cases of, like, the other villagers see them getting chased.
Uh-huh.
And they just up and run. They just book it. Instead, or some of them will be like, they try talking to them. And they'll be like, nope, you're on your own.
Nice.
Hey, you want this clothing? It's too fancy pants for me. You're sort of a trendy little wannabe, though, so it's probably right up your alley. Get a life. Don't you get it? I'm sick of looking at your face. Go away. What don't you get about get lost? Sheesh. Someone with your questionable sense of fashion could probably use this. Little brats like you should be long asleep by now. What would your parents think?
Whoa. Man, that's like that's like breaking the fourth wall right there to the kids who are playing the game.
You must have fallen out of a tree and hit every crazy branch on the way down.
Wow. Terrible.
See, so when people, you know, kind of generally were like, oh, Animal Crossing is such a soothing game. And it's like, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. In a situation like this, a civilized person would be sure to say something nice, you heathen. Will you shut up already? Just stop babbling for a second. What you do and where you do it has nothing to do with me. Don't expect me to get all nostalgic just because we haven't seen each other for 2 weeks.
That's silly.
Why don't you run along and play your childish games, you big baby?
I'm gonna go do that right now. Maybe, or something, I don't know.
I'm gonna go eat in a minute.
All right. Here.